John chapter 10 tonight. John chapter 10, and this is a continuation of our discussion of Jesus as shepherd. And I believe last week it would be proper for us to say that we looked at Jesus as the right shepherd. In other words, he was the right one to lead his people. Remember, he said, "I am the door. I am the way. I am the right way." And his comparison was to thieves and robbers. In other words, people that would try to come in the wrong way and do wrong things to the sheep. And so we understand Jesus as the right shepherd. And before we go on, I observed something in my study that I'll make note of in the way Jesus shared this truth. If you take a look at verse 7, John chapter 10 and verse 7, you see that Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Then go down to verse 9, "I am the door." He says it two times. "I am the door, I am the door." He repeats that twice. And what I observed here is he has a rhythm, a way that he is going about sharing this truth. First, he proclaims, "This is who I am," and he contrasts that to who he is not. "I am not a thief and a robber." Verse 8, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." And then in verse 9, "I am the door" again. Now he describes, "But this is truly who I am. I am not a thief and a robber. I am the right entrance. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." In other words, I am the right way. I am the place of safety, of true freedom. I am the giver of life. So he continues that rhythm now as he talks about being the good shepherd. So Jesus is the right shepherd, and now we see tonight Jesus is the good shepherd. Look at verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. And the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." Notice he's repeating himself again. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now there was division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear you him?" And others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" Now let's remember the context. Context is chapter 9. Jesus has healed a blind man from birth. And he was given sight. And the blind man, in his interchange with the religious leaders and the Pharisees, was kicked out of the synagogue. He was basically excommunicated from being in the Jewish community. And so, therefore, we see how the religious leaders and Pharisees cared for the people. It was about their own religious rites. It was about the way they did things. And if you came up against that, if you had a different view, then see you later. And so Jesus, "I am the right shepherd. You know, I'm not a thief. I am not a robber. I do things the right way." Now he says, "I am the good shepherd." And we're going to see the contrast as he lays it out for us. Again, he does the two times. He repeats himself, I am the good shepherd, verse 11. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd again. You will also see repeated. And again, I like to see when things are repeated, I pay attention to them. Okay, so I encourage you, when things are repeated, pay close attention to what is being said here. Also, I want you to notice how often it is repeated that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 11, verse 15, and verses 17 and 18 include those same thoughts. So in this text, we're not only going to see Jesus as the good shepherd, but we're going to see why he is the good shepherd. It is because he gives his life for the sheep. Now, we look at this from a New Testament context. We have the New Testament scriptures and the epistles, and Jesus has died and was buried. He rose again. We're looking backwards. Remember now that John is describing a time where Jesus is on the earth, alive and ministering. He has yet to die. He has not given his life. The resurrection hasn't taken place yet. Lazarus hasn't even been raised from the dead yet. We're going to get to that, chapter 11. Jesus is faithfully ministering to the people and seeking to declare God's standard in contrast to that of the religious Jews and the Pharisees. So, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And again, this first statement, he's going to describe what he is not. I am the good shepherd. I am not, what, a hireling? That's what we see in verse 12. So verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. All right, so that's clearly the description of a good shepherd. Good shepherd gives his life. Verse 12, I am not a hireling. Because what is a hireling? A hireling is a hired man. In other words, if a shepherd needed to do something, he could hire someone to watch his sheep for him while he went away. And so therefore the hireling, the hired man, would fulfill the role of a shepherd. Now, from this text, we know these things to be true about a shepherd. Okay, we know that a shepherd leads his flock. We know that the shepherd uses his voice, and the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they respond to his voice. And so, it would be a very difficult position to be a hired shepherd, wouldn't it? Because the sheep, there would be a distance there that you'd be almost like strangers. And what Jesus is declaring here is he's making this point. He's making the point that I am not like those who do not care for the sheep, but rather I am one who truly cares. In fact, I care so much so that I give my life. He describes a situation where the hired man is out in the fields watching the sheep, and along comes a wolf. Now, we understand that a sheep and a wolf, we understand who will win that battle. Right, kids? Sheep and a wolf, who would win the battle? A wolf, right? Absolutely. And we understand that in this text, look at this, verse 12, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, and what does he do? He leaves the sheep and flees. He leaves the sheep and runs. What does that tell you about him? It tells you that he values himself above the sheep. It tells you that he is only as valuable as it is safe to be shepherding. And so, he leaves the sheep, he flees, the wolf catches the sheep, of course, catches them, and scatters them. Now remember, this is an allegory. You can't find meaning for every single term in this. I believe what Jesus is sharing here is he's trying to make a very clear point. You Pharisees, you're not being good, right leaders, and you're not being good leaders. You're not doing it God's way. I am. I am the good shepherd, he says. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling, because he's not the real shepherd. He cares not for the sheep. That is a very clear and vivid point, especially in the context, isn't it? Because what has just happened? A man was just healed. He was just given his sight. This should be reason for rejoicing in the community. But no. No, he is excommunicated from them. And it just shows the true depth that these legalistic Pharisees go to save and harbor their own ways, their own religious fervor based on man-made laws. And they push people aside. You know, as I think about this, I really believe we can see here God's value of how he values his people. Listen, you got to understand, God values you. You are valuable to him. And as he goes through, as Jesus is declaring these different things, I believe those true believers, as they listen to this and they see him describe a true, a good, right shepherd and a good shepherd, they're listening to this and they're identifying, yes, we know that. We know he's caring for us. Of course, it's just inciting the Pharisees, and all they're seeing is their own selves. So he says, I am the good shepherd, and that this is who I'm not. I'm not a hireling. I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. I found it interesting that when Jesus goes now to describe who he is as a good shepherd, it's based upon knowledge. It's based upon a knowing. And this knowing here in this context, you've heard me talk about this Greek word before, but I'll do it again, gnosko. Gnosko is a Greek term that is, it's used to describe an intimate, experiential type knowing. In fact, in some places in the New Testament, it is used for the sexual relation between a man and a woman, to describe that intimacy, the knowing that takes place in that relationship. And so this is a very key word here in the text, that God is inserted to describe a good shepherd. A good shepherd is one who knows his sheep, who knows them experientially and with an intimacy, with a deep background in the relationship. And he says, and I am known of mine. This tells us this truth. This tells us that indeed God knows who are his, and he knows them well. And it tells us that those who are his, by their very nature, they know him well. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing almost a very vivid description of Jesus, the good shepherd, but we're getting to know the sheep a little bit here too, aren't we? You see, the good shepherd, he's so good, and he knows his sheep to such a depth that even his very own sheep, they have come to know him intimately. It's not as if you have this person that is, oh, I know Jesus' words, but his very life speaks the exact opposite. You see, Jesus knows the true heart of that individual. And it goes back to the whole thought and the whole idea that a true follower of Jesus Christ is going to have the fruit that bears forth from that relationship, from that knowing. that takes place. And so I am a good shepherd. I am not a hired man who doesn't care for the sheep because they're not his. No, I am a good shepherd because I know my sheep and I am known by them. And then verse 15, as the Father knows me. Now listen, look, this is big. Verse 15, big statement coming up here. This is called, you know, this is the Pharisee red alert. Here we go. As the Father knows me, guess what word that is? Gnosko, right? As the Father knows me intimately, experientially, even so know I the Father. What kind of know is that? Gnosko. Thank you, Bruce. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So here we have linked these two ideas or descriptions of the good shepherd. The good shepherd, he knows his sheep and is known by them, and he lays his life down for them. I want to first talk about that. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. Think about the gravity of that. In conjunction with understanding that verb, knowing, gnosko, experiential, intimate knowledge. There's a deep background and depth to the relationship. So the Father knows me, knows him well. Even so, know I the Father. If you were a Jew and you were listening to this, this is what you would hear. You would hear this man that is standing in front of you claim that God the Father knows me intimately. And I, as a man standing here before you, I know the Father with that same kind of intimacy. Now that happens because there has been a relationship already established between the two. And it's a relationship that has been experientially based, and it's an intimate one. So therefore, Jesus here is making, as some would claim, a claim for deity. And I believe this was probably the way the Jews would have taken such a statement. I am a good shepherd, and I am good because I know my sheep and I'm known by them, but also I lay down my life for them. I believe that you understand, you're aware that to lay down one's life is a show of deep, actually the deepest affection and the deepest extent one can go to care for another, to lay down my life. Now, I will tell you something, that and this is important. You understand that this is an allegory because I believe that if we're talking about sheep, the animal, I believe you will rarely have a shepherd die for a sheep, the animal. But I believe what we're seeing here is Jesus making the shift in the thinking here, because he says, I lay my life down for the sheep. In other words, he's giving it up for them. And he's making that bridge. The sheep are people. And people are of value to me as a good shepherd. Verse 16. Okay, so we've established I am the good shepherd. It's because I know my sheep and I'm known by them, and I lay my life down for them. Verse 16 opens the door to an even wider group of people. In other words, at this point, Jesus is talking about sheep, the true sheep of Israel. In other words, Jews. He's talking about significantly Jews here. But look at verse 16, and this is where you and I come in. Because in verse 16, we have an extension of the flock. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. One minor note, other, there are two kinds of others in the Greek, in the New Testament. There's an other that means of the same kind, and there's an other of a different kind. All right? In the English, you'll just see other. But in the Greek, you will see those two different distinctions. And in this point, you see it, this is the other of the same kind. So you have, and other sheep I have. In other words, other sheep who are mine, my follow, are mine, belong to me, know my voice. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. King James says fold. In the Greek, it's actual flock. It's an actual, I don't know why they put fold there, but the Greek word is very clearly flock. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now that should be exciting to you. I mean, think about it. What is Jesus saying here? A purely Jewish context. And, you know, it's very clearly talking about, you know, the Jews and those Jews that are hearing my voice, those Jews that are rejecting me, those leaders that are not leading as I would want them to lead. But now he says there's other sheep out there, and I've got to bring them. Other sheep I have, they're not a part of this fold we have right here. I need to bring them. They will hear my voice. Now, that's a very important distinction there. Voice, hear my voice. True sheep will understand the shepherd's voice. We've learned that from earlier in the chapter. And so this true sheep know the shepherd's voice and respond to him. A stranger they run from, but the true shepherd they go to. They follow. And so here Jesus is linking those other sheep with that same distinct marking. They know my voice. They know my voice. And so they know my voice, they hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, not two flocks, not Israel over here and Gentiles over here. No, there's going to be one flock. Now, this should remind you of something, we've been studying in the mornings for the past year, the book of Ephesians. And think about how Paul lays out that the Jew and the Gentile are to be united in one called the church. And so here what we're seeing here is an allusion to the design and plan of God, that there is going to be more than just Jews, but God is going to bring in other sheep who know and hear his voice to be a part of one flock. And there's going to be one shepherd. It remains Jesus Christ. At no point is there a new shepherd introduced. Jesus remains the shepherd. So he's the right shepherd. He is the right way, the safe way, the place of true freedom, and he provides and gives life, and he's the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He cares about them. And they know him, and they know he cares about them. And he lays down his life for them. And you know what? Maybe we could add a third thought. And he's got a vision and foresight for all his sheep to be a part of the one flock. There's a unity. There's a oneness. And it's all part of God's plan. Now again, this is Jesus, his life. He's alive, he's living, and yet he hasn't died yet. He wasn't buried, rose again, he hasn't ascended into heaven. The church hasn't even started yet, but yet we're seeing glimpses of what God has intended here. So verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. So what we're seeing here now is Jesus, as he established himself as the right shepherd, the good shepherd, and now he wants to make it clear his power. because he says, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. This is an agape love. This is that unconditional, sacrificial kind of love. And the Father loves me, he says. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. Wow, that's an incredible thought. Okay, just bare bones, think about this. I lay my life down that I might take it back up again. This should remind you of the gospel. And the gospel, the very fact that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again, right? Now, in order to rise again from the dead, you have to die, correct? And so Jesus here, he's just expressing something that has yet to happen. But he's showing God loves me. And God loves me because I'm going to lay down my life. I am laying down my life. In the present tense, I'm laying down my life. That why? That I might take it up again. And what is the power of the gospel? You see, the power of the gospel truly comes into full bloom with the resurrection. Because if your Savior still is dead, and then of what good is your gospel? Because your gospel can't save you from death. But if your gospel has a Savior who has risen, then it is a gospel that breathes life. Wow. So verse 18, no man takes it from me. He's talking about his life. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Who's in control here? Jesus is. I mean, Jesus is really claiming some incredible power here, isn't he? And, I mean, picture this. You have these religious Jews standing there in front of him, and this man, I mean, he's just a man, standing there in front of him, claiming these kinds of things. I could understand how they would be a little, what are you doing? What are you talking about? No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I mean, this reminds me of John chapter 19, verse 11. Just listen to this. This is in the trial with Pilate. And Pilate, verse 10, then says Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not thou that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you? And Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except if it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you hath the greater sin. You know, even Pilate, he was helpless, except for God allowing this death to take place. No man takes this from me. I lay it down. Notice, he's already talked about, I give my life for the sheep. I lay it down. He's already said that. No one's taking it. He's giving it. He's giving it. That's key too to the gospel. Man, there's a lot here. I could talk a long time on this stuff. But he's giving it. You know, you could make a case that somebody, you know, they took his life. You know, you could, but think about the gravity and the difference that it is that he gave it. What does that speak about your Savior? Not only the depth of his love, but the depth of his power. People that wanted to kill him couldn't even kill him until it was time, because he was in control, because he's God. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I believe at this point, and well, of course, Jesus being God knew all things, but he understands his purpose for his earthly ministry. And here he's describing it in the context of a shepherd and sheep. Well, of course, we already read the response to this division. You have some Jews that were kind of in agreement and kind of in understanding of what he was saying, and then others that were not. Some thought he had a demon, thought he was a crazy man. Why even listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? And I believe that is a very clear contextual clue to remind us of chapter 9. To remind us that it is very possible that the blind man that has been healed is listening to this. And if this is in the same town, the same environment, and you have those same religious leaders that have been dealing with this whole situation, and they're hearing this declaration, I am the right shepherd, I'm the door. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and known by them, I lay my life down for them. And so you see the cosmic clash of the ways and truths of God and the ways of man. And they clash. And again, what we're seeing is the importance of a faith and a belief in Jesus Christ. These people had to believe by faith that Jesus was who he said he was, or they would turn in doubt. And so we leave the story here. I believe we take from this tonight the encouragement of this truth. We've got a good shepherd. And a good shepherd who thought of us as Gentile sheep. A good shepherd that has laid his life down. In fact, it was to the point he gave his life. Nobody took it from him. He gave it. And he gave his life for each one of you. You are valuable to him. And so the application is act like a sheep. Hear his voice. Know his voice. Follow his lead, his direction, his commandments. For truly he is a good and right shepherd. Amen. Amen.